Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, it's the first Sunday night of 2020. I mean, I know I'd spent a good part of my life not thinking 2020 would even happen. How many of you have been in this long? We've heard, Jesus was coming back, 20 years ago. We weren't supposed to make it to the year 2000, right? Everything was going to shut down. It didn't shut down. It just ramped up. So what's the lesson? Just get ready. Be ready. Live ready. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, God's coming back when he says he's coming back. Isn't that right? And he's coming back. Praise the Lord. He's so good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song when I was a worship leader. I learned this from a youth leader years ago in the late 80s. And it's just a simple little chorus that we used to sing about being made like Jesus. We wanted to be made like him. And one of the lines says, "You are a servant, Lord. Make me one too. Lord, I'm willing to do what I must do to be your servant, Lord. Make me like you." And I think if there's anything that, this world needs to see, it needs to see Jesus. But he's a servant, amen? Go to Matthew chapter 20, if you would. Thank the Lord for his word, the word of God. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll go as far as this tonight as time allows. I gave him a whole big group of scriptures and probably not. I'd probably have to just read scripture tonight to get through all of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that many pages of notes, but just to read through them. Here I want us to look at Matthew chapter 20. You think about our ministry here at Rhema. Of course, preaching that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus sets free, and he's coming back again, The gospel message, but we all know this at Rhema. God gave Brother Hagin and the Hagin family a mandate, and all of us who have God has brought here to be part of this, a mandate to take the message of faith, to each generation. Each generation has to be taught that message. But in thinking about that, without the message of servanthood and love, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. I'm just kind of been on this subject here the last several weeks, but just of servanthood and love, it's easy in faith to become selfish. It's all about my need. But all of our needs are met by his riches and glory. He's given us a well of living water on the inside, springing up inside of us to everlasting life. Really, we should just roll all the care of that over on him. Now, yes, we do our part. But think about God. God, by his grace, has already paid the price and has really, literally already provided everything you and I would ever need in this life. All right? But we don't obtain it. And how do we receive it? Through faith. It's by grace through faith. But faith will not work without love. And so really, if you listen to Brother Hagin often, he taught on the subject of love a tremendous amount of time, tremendous amount. Now, we're not talking about, again, faith or love as a work. We're just talking about being like Jesus. We're just talking about letting what's he's made us on the inside. How many of you are a new creature in Christ tonight, right? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things are of God. The Bible says we are partakers of his divine nature, right? And so look here in Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." Same word translated here is servant. "And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The New Living Translation here in verse 28 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life a ransom for many." And so I think it's quite obvious there, to be like Jesus is to be a servant. Amen? To be like Jesus is to be a servant. Now we talk about, you know, Jesus in John 14 talked about us doing the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go into my Father. And we talk about those works, you know, and all the great things he did, from feeding the multitudes, raising the dead, healing the sick, the lame walked, the blind saw. Hallelujah, the maimed were healed. All the things that he did, he said, those works shall you do also. But they're not going to happen unless we become a servant to all people. See, it's not about us. Unfortunately, you know, and I think as ministers and as people, you know, who are, and this is, you know, we have a unique body of church here. A lot of folks in here, Rhema graduates. But you don't have to be a Rhema graduate to be part of Rhema, right? You understand that. But a lot of folks here, and we try, and pastor teaches, all of us, everybody's a minister. Everybody's involved. Everybody, even this morning, talking about the different areas of volunteering, because it's really the helps ministry. All of us called to be involved and to serve others. But you know, thinking, well, you know, if I just have one of these magnificent miracles take place, it really launch my ministry. Well, if that's your purpose, you're gonna have a lot of failed launches. Because that's not why God does miracles. God does miracles for people because he loves them. And he works through us, right? So Jesus is our example here. Look at John 13. Let's look at some scriptures here. These aren't new scriptures tonight, obviously. I always get a kick out of folks that say, I'm going to preach something new. Well, did it come from the Bible? We ought to say, I learned something new from the Bible. That'd be a better way to say that, wouldn't it? And I want to share it with you. Well, that's great. I understand that. But if you got something new and it came from the Bible, it's not new. Amen. And I don't know about you, you know, I'm headed into within a few months here of being in this for 40 years. And I the more I find out, the more I realize I don't know. It's like just as soon as I think I got it figured out, God turns a little bit and I see another aspect of his glory and of his life and his love. It's like, oh, it was there all the time. I just couldn't see it. Amen. John 13, verse 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment, here Jesus talking to us, I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Pastor Marvin mentioned, you know, have you ever been at a loss for words and you couldn't answer? You know what? If we could learn to love people, we'd have an answer for everybody. Not just words answer. I'm talking about the example. He said it proves to the world that we are his disciples if we love one another. Just fellow Christians. The love. Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Now, you know this, that anything God asks us, it's a command. It's actually a command that we love others. He said a new commandment. Anything he commands us to do is something that we can do, but with his help. He's given us the ability to do this. We're going to see that here in a moment. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now notice this. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice this. Here he talks about this is God's plan for everyone who has placed their love on God. In other words, they have turned in love towards God in response to his, and he's called us with a purpose. And what is that first part of that purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, we know this then, and that means that the image of his son, what was his son? He was a servant. He came not to do, he said over and over, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He came not to make a name for himself, but to pick us up, to serve us. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Talking about serving others. So really, you know, if you think about this, I had one time I was just meditating. Just a lot of times when I'm driving, I'm thinking about scriptures and that type of thing, and I kept hearing this question over and over again: is why am I still here? Not at Rhema, on the earth. Why am I still here? Because, you know, once you're born again, the Bible says you're a citizen of heaven, right? Now, we have this fleshly body. We understand that. But spiritually, we're citizens of heaven. We have a right. But then it tells us we're ambassadors here. We're here to represent Christ. He's representing us there. We represent him here. But the only reason, really, when you break it down then, the only reason we're still here is because those others need to hear, right? Others need to hear the gospel. So then that tells me this. That's when I started thinking about this. Then really it's not my life here on the earth anymore. It's really not about me anymore, is it? Oh, but now we don't want to take testimonies tonight, but how selfish we become. And we make it all about us, right? A lot of folks, you know. Now none of you. I'm preaching to all those people that aren't here tonight because I know this could not describe anybody in this place. But, you know, we get selfish. Well, you know, we get selfish in our feelings and our emotions. They didn't treat me right or they didn't talk to me right. You know, for a lot of people, the holidays was a great time. For other people, it was horrible. It was horrible. All they did was fought with their family. They didn't get enough mashed taters or whatever it was. Somebody took the last, you know, cookie. I don't know what, you know what I'm saying. But for some people, that's what they make it because everything's about them. Right? Everything's about them. And I'm just saying we got to start making a shift. Jesus, his life on earth was not about him. We have eternity to live. This isn't it, folks. This life on here is not about how much I can grab because this is, no. There's nothing you can grab here that we even compare to there and then. Right? Amen. I have a friend that, you know, he told me one time, and he said, I've done a lot of gravesite burials, you know, in my ministry. And he said, you know, I've noticed one thing. Nobody takes it with them. It all stays here, right? But who do we take? We can take people with us, right? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect or mature, complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now notice this, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Now here's the thing. We can only serve who we love. If we don't love people, and that was one of the things that we talked about here a couple weeks ago about the compassion of the Lord. Compassion. The compassion is getting down and rolling up your sleeves and getting involved in helping others. And that's an aspect of this love. So you're going to serve whoever you love, you serve. In fact, to love is to serve. You know, and the quicker you learn that in marriage, the quicker you're going to have a good marriage. Just a hint there. Matthew 6. Let's move right along from that statement here. Come on now. See, it's not about you. It's about serving. Who are you serving? Was it Dylan that had that song, You're Going to Serve Somebody? Was that Bob Dylan? It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. He should add, it may be you or it may be the Lord. But you're going to serve somebody. Well, we might as well serve people. right? Help the benefit to bring the life of God to people. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, the things of this earth. See, to serve God is to love people. Now listen, I'm not saying that you don't take care of the things that you need to take care of, right? I was talking to a young man who had gone on the mission field, and you know, he had been receiving some offerings and different things like that. But then I found out, you know, that him and his family, they didn't have proper clothing, didn't have proper food and all that. And I told him, I said, look, people giving you that money, they understand. If the missionary dies, so does the mission. You have a right to eat. Amen. And so God's not telling serve others at the it's not about neglecting yourself. But yet I'm talking about, where's our focus? Amen. So, you know, what I like to say is stay out of the ditch. You ever tried to drive in the ditch? Doesn't work, does it? No. You got to call Mater to come get you out of the ditch, right? If you don't know who that is, get saved and you will. No, I'm joking. So Jesus here clearly states that whatever you love, you will serve. Notice that. He said, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. What you love, you're going to serve and you're going to nurture. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Why? Because he loves people. God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came to earth to redeem man back to God because of the love of God that God has for mankind. Now, you can only give yourself to what you love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Love is about giving. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. We're his children. And we have that same nature and that same capacity within us. Paul prayed, you know, he told the Philippians, he said, I'm praying that your love may abound in all wisdom and understanding, discernment. How many of you run up with this? Well, I'd like to do something. I just don't know how to do something in this case. How would I love them the way God wanted them would do? How would I love them like Jesus would in this case? Well, we need wisdom, right? We need understanding. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, right? See that in just a minute. Ephesians 5 here, verse 1 and 2 said, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Notice that. How did he love us? He gave himself. I like this in the Message Bible. Listen to this. Watch what God does, then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Woo, glory to God. Now, can you see how it would take faith to walk in this kind of love? Because basically, you're exposing yourself to the beatdown if, you know, you put yourself out there like that. And how many of you know Jesus was rejected? He said, the one who I love most loved me least. Okay, but that didn't stop him from loving. He just kept on loving. Okay? And sometimes it's for the joy set before you. You endure the pain. What the pain? There's pain in rejection. I understand that. But really, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. See, we give ourselves to what we love. Now, I was watching some playoff football this afternoon. In between studying the inside of my eyelids, football game is on, and you know there was every person out there, you know, giving play. They love it or they wouldn't be out there. Because really, you can't pay people enough money to get hit like that. It's not worth the money. But they've given themselves to it. It's just for a short time. I mean, the average career is short. But they love it, and they've given themselves to it. Look here in 1 John 3 then. Verse 16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Laying down your life, giving. Love is the motivation for giving. Love benefits others at the expense of itself because love desires to give. Lust, the opposite of love, benefits itself at the expense of others because lust desires to get. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, well, I'm at church, I'm going to love, you know. But what about, how are you doing on your job? Are you helping your fellow employee advance? Are you helping them look good? Or are you making yourself look good at their expense? See, that's an aspect of love. You know, there's some people that think that they're making themselves something by throwing somebody else. Remember, you've heard the term throwing them under the bus. Remember, Brother Hagin, you said this, your candle doesn't get any brighter when you put someone else's out. Actually, how does it get brighter? Let's join them together. You bring your candle, I'll bring mine. Right? And so, how are we doing in this area? Are we laying down our lives? Are we trying to benefit others, even at our own expense, no matter what it cost us? Or are we about, is it about me? Amen. And really, the way to the top with God is to go to the bottom and support. Who's going to be great in the kingdom of God? Those who serve, those who minister. 1 John 4:20 says, "If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen?" I'll never forget sitting in Johannine Epistles with Cooper Beatty years ago in a classroom over there in SDC 2, when Cooper walked over. I was on this side of the, if I'm looking, I was sitting right over here towards the end of the row, and Brother Cooper walked over there to the towards and was pointing us. He said, according to this scripture, he said, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. How can you say you love God whom you've not seen and you don't love your brother whom you have seen? He said, your love for God can rise no higher than your love from the person you love the least. And he went like that. I've never, ever forgotten that. I can see him saying that. How can you say you love God when here's a person that you don't even care about? It's pretty sobering, isn't it? But it also gives us direction and also tells us, okay, let's make an adjustment in this area, right? The reason for ministry of any kind, and Pastor, like I said, Pastor's always talking to all of us here at Rhema Bible Church about work all called to the ministry. Could be the ministry of helps, could be ministering in children. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever God's called you to. The reason for that ministry is to love people, not a love for ministry. Amen. If you're looking to make yourself a name, then you're not going to be successful in the kingdom of God. It even applies to loving our enemies. Look at Romans chapter 5. How many of you know God loved us when we were his enemy? Now really, when we talk about your enemy, as a Christian, looking at people, I'm not going to consider anybody necessarily my enemy. They can make themselves an enemy to me, but that's a bad place to be. You don't want to be an enemy to one of God's favorite people. All of you. Because the Bible says he's our real reward. What does that mean? He's got my backside. Amen. I love that in Isaiah where it says, the Lord has bared his holy arm. What does that mean? God's standing behind you flexing. Just remind the devil. Oh, Mr. Devil, I'm going to yield myself to God. Uh-oh. Amen. Romans 5:8 says, but God commends or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now go over to Luke chapter 6. Amen. Just something to remind ourselves tonight. So, we made the statement, you can only serve who you love, whom you love. You can only give yourself to what you love. You can only love God to the level that you love people. And that includes your enemies. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smites you on one cheek also, offer also the other. And to him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And look at this next verse in context of what we just read. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Talking to us about how do we handle people who want to set themselves up as enemies. How do we handle people who are cursing us? How do we handle people who are despitefully using us? Those that even would do, he said, to love them and do good to them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. Finally, you can only love this way by yielding to the love of God that's in us by the Holy Ghost. That's the only way we can love this way. Go back to Romans chapter 5, if you would, please. The only way we can do this is if we learn how to yield to the love of God, Romans 5:5, which has been given to us, that very love. Well, brother, we just need more love. No, we got the love we need. You got the Holy Ghost, you got the love of God. Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, I know, you know, in times past, and if you heard, you know, Miss Leanne Soseby teach, as she was, Miss Soseby, as she was in the Word in Prayer and Healing, she talked about knowing the Holy Ghost. She said, he'll be in you. You know him. Amen. And so, you know, I'd hear students go walking around saying, I know the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost. And some of them I looked at and I said, well, there's a faith statement. That's calling things that be not as though they were. Because I've watched them do some things. That surely wasn't the Holy Ghost, you know. But keep saying it. Glory to God. Keep believing it. I know the Holy Ghost. I know his voice. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. Well, if you know, to know the Holy Ghost is to know the God kind of love. Not just for you, but to know the Holy Ghost and to be led by the Holy Ghost. This tells me this. The Holy Ghost will never lead me in dealing with other people outside of love. Never. Never. Now, I'm going to say this. Love, the love of God, is not wimpy. Amen? It's not wimpy. I heard somebody say, well, what would you do if, you know, you saw someone and they were attacking someone. Would you just pray? No, I'd pray as I was beating them with a big stick. Right? But you understand, I'm not talking about this love is not wimpy at all. It's the greatest thing. It's a living thing. It never fails. If something always wins, it's not wimpy. I'm going to tell you right now. Right? So look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the first part of it. there talks about, you know, you could have great faith, but if you don't walk in love, I mean, you could be moving, you have faith and move the mountain, but if you don't walk in love, it's just a lot of noise. Oh, well, what about this great miracle? Just noise. Just noise. That's the end result going to be. Just a lot of noise. I don't think any of us are really interested in making noise, are we? Aren't you interested in having Bible results and lasting help for people? I'm going to go ahead and skip down and read this in the Amplified version here, beginning in verse. Let's see. Let me make sure I've got the right one up here. Okay, hang on just a second. I've got it in my notes, but I don't think that was the right version. No, hang on a second. 1 Corinthians 13:4, not 4:13. That won't work. Okay, this is the Amplified Classic version here. Verse 4, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Now, can you see right off as it starts that it definitely, love's not in me to make it about me. Have you noticed that? It's not about me. I don't have to be concerned about me. God's got me. He gave me his life on the inside. It's on the inside. I think in looking at this, my thought on this in as I was praying over this was to bring this out, that it's time to move past my needs being met and let's start using our faith to meet the needs of others. Amen. How much can I give this year to help We Care? Right? How much can I do to, you know, get involved with anything? That's what I'm talking about. Just not making it about me. Not how much income, but how much can I give this year? Lord, I want to give this much. Last year I gave this. I want to give this much. How much can I give to, you know, and I'm not just talking about finances. Time. You know. Hey, now some of you should never do this, but baking cookies for other and taking them and blessing somebody. Some of you wouldn't be a blessing. You need to buy them at the store and take them to them. You know, go to Merit's and buy some cookies or something, but don't go, you know. How many of you know you don't have that cooking gift? All right, let's see. I see some hands. All right. I wish I could pray it on you, but I can't, brother. Okay. Listen to this. It's not touchy. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Tear your list up right now. Just make a decision. Right now, I'm going to tear that list up. Anybody that ever did me wrong, I'm tearing it up. I'm forgiving them right now. It's gone. It's as if it never happened. I have to let all of that go if I'm going to walk in this, if I'm going to love like this. Takes no account. Takes no account. You know, everything that was to our account got nailed to the cross. And ought not we who have been forgiven much forgive others who have done so little to us? Amen. He says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Listen, some folks, I know sometimes people say, well, see, that's what happened. Ha ha, that's what happens when you don't serve God. Ha ha ha. No, we don't rejoice. We want everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that everyone be saved. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but that's what his will is. Listen, verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how thin it gets. It doesn't matter how overbearing it seems. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. All these other things will eventually one day we won't need them because we'll be in the presence of God. But love is always going to be there because God is love. Amen? Hallelujah. So you want to be like Jesus? Well, then we have to let love be our motivation for living. I live to love you. I live. I have breath today that I might love someone today. That I might serve someone today. Let us let this love of God consume our thought life. Let's start sitting. Instead of, I realize, you got to have a car. But instead of, think about this. Well, I want this kind of car. I'm going to have, and that's okay to visualize that and to dream that. But how about starting to visualize, how can I help so-and-so get their car? Amen. Let's let this love of God burn on the inside of us to the point that we have to find someone to serve and to love. I have to find someone. I can't. And when we do that, then we're talking about the compassion of the Lord. It's ready. God's ready. He's eagerly yearning. But that love is in us. Love is in us. And that's why God created us in the first place, so he would have someone to participate in that love with, that he could give that love freely, and it would be a free choice to be given back to love. And he never stopped loving. God has always been love, even when we made ourselves his enemies through our unrighteousness. But he had a plan for that. Aren't you glad? So if we're going to do this, we're going to have to maybe change a little bit on our thinking and catch yourself. I started, one of the things the Lord helped me, and I'm not by any means there yet where I need to be. Don't get that. Don't take that as I'm saying that. But there's several places as I read through the Bible, I've written this. It's not about me. It's not about me. When it tells me different things that I should do to serve others, to love others, it's not about me. It's not about me. We can make a decision. Amen. Today, that we're going to be known not just for our faith, but for our love. Right? And let's love. Let's love people. Let's do good to people. Let's be on people. Let's be for people. Amen. Even those that want to be our enemies, let's be for them. We want them to come to know God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, you loved us in spite of ourselves. You loved us when we didn't even know your name. You loved us when, before we even were born into this earth, you've loved us from before the foundation of the world. And Father, you've put that love in us as your children so that we could go and, like Jesus did, serve people in that love, be moved with compassion, moved by the Spirit of God, and that people's lives would be impacted by your great love that don't even know you. That's why you've provided healing for the world in the name of Jesus. That's why you've provided, Father, salvation in all things through Jesus Christ. Let us be the voice. Let us be the carrier. Let us truly be the ambassadors of your love and take the message of the gospel that you were in Christ, not imputing our trespasses unto us, that we might be reconciled, that the world might be reconciled to you, that we go out and we literally beg them out of compassion, please come. Please come to know him. Please come. He's made provision for you. Father, we know that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that we have a well of water springing up in everlasting life on the inside of us that takes care of us. Father, we thank you that you've given us the ability to speak the word and watch the mountain move. But Father, we thank you that it's not just about us. That we want to be like Jesus. He's our example. He was a servant. Lord, make us one too, Father. We just thank you and honor you tonight, Lord. Father, this is this is going to be the greatest year that any of us have ever been alive this year, 2020, because we know we're going to work more with you. We're going to see more things this year. Things are coming, Father God, that are going to literally blow our minds, but we thank you for it in advance, Lord. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a year of faith, but it's going to be a year of love. A year that, Father God, we take that love to this world. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and all the honor for that which you've done, that which you're about to do. And Father, I thank you that that love is in us. And that love that you loved us with, it's cast out all fear. Glory to you, Father. Let us take that message, Father, that you don't need to be afraid of God. God's not out to punish us. He sent Jesus to bear the punishment for us. And if you just come to him through Christ, come to God the Father through his Son, believe that God did raise him from the dead after he bore the penalty, and make him and confess him to be the Lord of your life, then we would be saved. And Father, we thank you that that's still available. Thank you for being so patient and long-suffering with us. Thank you, Father. Father, I'm so thankful you didn't come before 1980 when I didn't know you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, on that night in June, on that Monday night, when I called out that name. Thank you, Father. But Father, there's so many that have yet to do that. Oh, Father, may they know you. May there be such an outpouring of your Spirit through your body, through your children, that those who would stand in opposition to you could not resist and cannot resist that outpouring of your love. They would come to know you. Thank you for being so patient and long-suffering, Lord. Father, we just bless you and honor you. Can you all stand with me and just bless the Lord tonight? Just thank him that he loved you. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Give you praise and honor. Praise and honor. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you and we magnify your holy name. We give you glory and praise. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, Father God. God's moving in this place. He's talking to many of you. Some of you said tonight, Lord, I want to love like that. He's speaking to you, showing you a step that you can take. Hallelujah. There's healing for you in this place tonight also. Healing in your body. Power of God manifesting, working. Thank you, Father. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the Father and I will come and we'll manifest ourselves to you. What is that commandment? That you love others as He has loved us. Thank you, Father. We're going to see your glory this year. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.